Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home.
Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch.
The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed.
And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy kids to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Tanner, I've got terrible news. Terrible news.
What's up?
I don't know what to do. I'm freaking out.
Okay, can I help?
I don't know.
Let me ask.
Okay, you ask.
What would be more helpful for you?
Okay.
Do you just need to vent, or do you want me to try to like help you solve this problem?
Both. And okay. But listen, it's a problem that affects both of us equally. Okay. Well, not equally, but it's bad for both of us.
Yeah.
So
I'm dying to hear about it. Please tell me.
Yeah.
Help me help you.
Okay. Well, and then hopefully we can both help ourselves.
Yeah.
There's been a big change in the format.
Of our show?
Of podcasting.
Oh, okay.
The era of silent podcasts is over.
Okay.
So now it's going to have to be our voices are actually going out.
Like silent majority stuff? What are you talking about?
Well, you know how previously podcasts were just like you never heard any talking? It was just like orchestral music and like... I guess
people
would look at the picture of us on the front of the episode.
I had a teacher in film school who was like so pretentious. And one time he like sort of whimsically looked around the room and was like, you know, I'll never understand music with lyrics.
But yeah, exactly.
Isn't that an obnoxious thing to say?
That's really obnoxious and stupid. And it's like, yeah, you probably won't, dude. but that's bad for us because you have a bad voice.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, what do you mean? Singing voice?
No, talking. I want you to try to wrap your head around the metaphor, I guess.
Do you want... Okay.
It's like the movie.
I don't have a bad talking voice, though. I think
okay, fine.
The premise
I have a bad
is so
voice,
shaky. No, you don't. You have a beautiful voice. Don't put yourself down like that.
People are going to hear us now. The stuff we say is stupid. How about that? And the people are going to hear it now.
It was a lot easier when we had a work like a team of writers writing like four-word like dialogue cards for us that made us sound really intelligent.
Yeah. Back in the good old days, people would just look at the picture that goes out with every episode, listen to the orchestral music, and think about it. But now...
Think about it.
Now here we are, and it's just like the movie, isn't it, that we watched?
Yeah, this movie is... Well, it's IP Freely.
Okay.
Because they stole their entire concept from that one Blues Traveler video, the runaround video.
Okay.
And we've talked about it before, yes. Yeah. And I encourage everyone to go refresh yourself on the video now, if you haven't seen it recently.
She does karaoke?
No, the premise of the video is that... There's someone performing out on the stage, and then there's someone performing backstage doing all the actual like vocals and
okay.
You know, I haven't actually seen the video in some years, probably since close to when it came out. Should I maybe
don't
go
look
revisit
it, up.
It?
No, I could sense you doing that, and I just think it'll be a bad audio.
Okay,
because we can't play any of it because it's copyrighted.
Right. Yeah.
So it would just have to be me, like what. I guess doing a play-by-play of watching you over a Zoom, watching a Blues Traveler. Is that what's happening? Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you could probably help by describing. I think we've already described it, though. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's what's going on.
Perfect.
The music video for Run Around by Blues Travelers is set in a club, an energetic club. And all sorts of like different kinds of people from all sorts of different kinds of walks of life and like cliques are coming into the room and really enjoying this energetic band on the stage. And they're sort of like young,
and it's
handsome
Blues Traveler. It's
like
not
grunge rockers. Oh, they
okay,
look like, but they're okay playing the Blues Traveler hit "Run Around." But what's okay that? What's that? I see that we're cutting away to every now and then. We're cutting John to Popper. What appears to be under the stage, actually.
Okay.
Or maybe it's like backstage, okay, and it's the actual band Blues Travelers.
It's the Blues Travelers
singing and playing the Blues Traveler, singing and playing yeah the music that the audience is actually listening to, and okay the guys out on stage are receiving all of the accolades. So this movie, Singing in the Rain, is the movie we watched, and it's they've ripped off their entire premise from a Blues Traveler music video. Is what I'm kind of laying at their feet.
I haven't seen it, but I think that's also what Phantom of the Opera is about.
Okay, so the wall of evidence is piling up.
Yeah. Can you confirm or deny that?
Do you want me to go kind of quietly watch?
No, I don't want that.
Phantom of the Opera?
No, that's fine. I thought you might have seen it and you could confirm. I think it's a guy who lives under the stage and sings Blues Traveler.
That, if only.
Yeah.
And someone should write that. But yeah, no, I don't think that's what it's about. I think it's about a phantom stealing a woman.
We watched a movie. I watched it twice. Do you want to know why I watched it twice?
Song So Nice? Or like Looked So Nice? Or
no, it's not a rhyme.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I thought it would be. It's not really your style.
Sarah and I watched it a few nights ago. I told her I wouldn't, because she loves to watch old movies. And I kind of hate to watch old movies. I'll just say it. I'm a Grinch about old movies. It's like, you know, the movies, like the technology of movies has gotten a lot better
yeah
since the 50s. And so, I don't know. It's like, I don't drive a old 50s car, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You doesn't get good miles per gallon.
You don't like enjoy the works of like anyone who's writing in like the 1940s or 50s, right? Like,
exactly.
Heidegger or anyone like that, right?
Forget it. I wouldn't use a 50s like dishwasher.
Yeah.
We
no, and why would, you
enjoy,
why would you watch any kind of media or consume any kind of media or listen to music from the 50s or read books or...
Okay, how about this? Listen to this. Imagine this scenario. It's your birthday. Just imagine it's your birthday. I know
God,
it's
God, I wish. It's Cyril's okay birthday.
It's Cyril's birthday today. Happy birthday, Cyril, on the day
Happy
of
birthday,
recording.
Cyril.
But imagine it's your birthday. I show up at your house. Surprise. Ding dong.
Oh, hey.
Hey, Taylor.
What are you doing in Connecticut?
I'm
Is this a birthday surprise?
Yeah, it's a birthday surprise.
Wow.
And I've brought you a cake.
Oh, man, this is so thoughtful. How much
yeah
is this costing you? Can I, like, chip in?
It's pretty expensive, and it's also, like, a pretty long walk for where I'm going to land this. But
yeah,
before you dig in, this cake, it's a vintage. It was made in the 50s. Would you like to take the first bite?
I guess I have a few follow-up questions.
Yeah.
If anything. Does it look nice?
I think it probably did in the 50s.
Yeah. I think you're comparing apples to oranges and
okay
like bananas and grapes and
okay
several other things.
But listen, I'm telling you something.
This movie's good and this movie was fun.
No, I know. I just got sidetracked. I feel like you can identify with that. I thought it
you
was
You just
fine.
Watched it twice.
Sarah, what I'm trying to say is that Sarah likes old movies.
Yeah,
and
me too.
I don't. I'm a snob about it. As you can see, I tend to not want to. But so I promised her that if we were ever to do an old movie, we would watch it together. And we did a few nights ago. And then I woke up this morning. I was like, looking forward to getting on the old Zoom with my bud, talk about Singing in the Rain. I could not remember a single thing about the movie. Like nothing.
Well,
literally nothing. None of it was retained.
Something that
head
was a little bit, I thought, refreshing about the film is it's pretty short.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I would say 40% of it is
yeah
song 40%. And dance numbers.
Yeah.
So that leaves the other 60% to be plot, which is pretty light. It's a pretty plot-light film.
With the modern sensibility such as I have, I'm a modern man. Like,
yeah,
if you're watching a movie, and I try not to like have my phone out during movies, even though I am a modern man. But if you're watching a movie and like they do like a 4-minute dance number,
yeah,
one's attention does start to wander. And then when they stop the dance number, sometimes it's hard to remind yourself that you need to like wander your attention back. is the thing.
Because they don't stop it with like a, usually it just literally like peters out. Like everyone will just sort of stop dancing and like start walking around again.
Yeah.
And like talking, you know?
Yeah.
It's pretty seamless.
Yeah. But I watched it again. I was like, you know what? I want to do this movie justice. And so I did watch it again this morning, and it was fun. It's a fun movie. Lots of fun.
Yeah. So this is not considered a jukebox. My name's Tanner Greenring. Are we done with the intro?
Sure. I thought you were going to walk further with me along the road of silent podcasts are over and we have to do a musical, but that, you know.
Do you want to do a musical? Because I am willing to. It just feels like we probably should have pre-prod for that a little bit.
Well, I've got a couple suggestions.
Well, let me introduce the musical aspect of this.
Yeah,
because it turns out that we've accidentally watched another jukebox musical, although it's from 1952, so it didn't have a label then.
And we're experts on that. Last time we talked about jukebox musicals, it was pretty new concept to us. But now we're old veterans of the jukebox.
Yeah, this is I've seen two now. Well, I think I've probably seen more.
I can't stop watching them.
Yeah, all my favorites. You mean I can listen to all of the music of, well, who's Jersey Boys? What do they do? Like just that random,
it's a jukebox musical.
Okay.
Yeah.
This movie was made to showcase the hit songs from all of like MGM's other movies.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Making it the world's first jukebox musical. Then don't look that up because it's probably not
true. You made that up? Okay.
The first part is true. Singing in the Rain was originally conceived by MGM producer Arthur Freed as a vehicle for his catalog of songs written with Nacho Brown for previous MGM musical films. So this is the original jukebox musical. So we've watched two in a row.
Yeah.
This one isn't, I wouldn't say quite as catchy for me personally as ABBA.
No.
But I liked it.
I liked it.
They do suffer from a lot of the same issues that Mamma Mia did. They kind of had to invent reasons sometimes for songs to sort of fit the narrative.
Yeah.
Like one time they noticed it was 1:30 in the morning and they started singing a song called Good Morning.
Yeah, and then they sing this whole song about like Moses's toes that I didn't
fully
understand.
They're doing like a vocal exercise.
Yeah.
And then it turns into, honestly, like what felt like a 15-minute dance number.
Yeah.
It spins out of control. It felt like mind flaying.
It's intense, and it's basically like an extended like hazing of an old man.
Yeah, he has no idea what's going on. He's like addiction teacher.
The movie. Let's do our little segment first. It's called Dramatic Personae.
Yes.
And let's say who's in it.
It's one of those ones where it's like, oh, this film is full of huge stars from 1952. And I don't have any other context for any other films any of them were in, except for Gene Kelly.
One of them is Gene Kelly, and the other one is Princess Leia's mommy.
Really?
Yeah.
Queen Leia.
Queen Leia.
Yeah.
I don't think they take their daughter's name. But yes, Queen Leia. Yes. What? Yes. Died in Alderaan, right?
The Queen of Alderaan is in this.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
It is a little interesting. It's a little sad, too. Like, watching her, like seeing her so vibrant, so alive, just knowing the fate that's sort of like ahead of her,
the her whole planet is going to be used as a
just like
test,
like vaporized.
I don't mean to laugh. I mean, it's literally like thousands of voices suddenly cried out as one, and then we're silenced. Yeah,
terrible.
Millions of voices, I think.
Okay, so there's those two. There's I texted you about this yesterday. This is another film. Not only is it another jukebox musical, but it's another film that's about two creative partners, which is also what Mamma Mia was about. It was about that marketing guy trying to figure out how to market the island that Meryl Streep lives on.
Yes.
This one is about Cosmo, who's his buddy.
Yeah.
And Gene Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
They're like a writer-performer duo.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I look at them, I see a lot of parallels. I see it's like looking
to us. I was thinking about this. I actually was thinking about this. Do I have to be Gene
Who's
Kelly?
Who? Right. Yeah. No, I don't think that makes any sense. I said it's like looking in a mirror, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
And I think it, you know, you have light hair. You're shorter. I have dark hair. I'm taller.
You could
so
be
I think
Gene,
I should
Gene
be Gene Kelly.
Yeah. That's great. I love that.
And you should
guy.
Be Cosmo.
He's funny. He's the funniest in the movie. He says all sorts of funny shit.
Short people have long faces. And long people have short faces. Big people have little humor, and little people have no humor at all. And in the words of that immortal bard, Samuel J. Snodgrass, as he was about to be led to the guillotine, make him laugh, make him laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to...
He is the funniest one. He's really good, yeah.
And I think this is the only thing he's been in.
His whole thing is like he just loves comedy. He's like, yeah. I don't like I'm an ex like a world class
he's
like,
a clown.
Singer-songwriter and yeah. like writer and performer, but I won't do anything except like gag comedy.
Yeah.
And it works. He makes it work. He turns it into
it's
an
beautiful.
Art form. Yeah.
And I did spend the whole movie waiting for Spider-Man to sing that Rihanna song and it never happened. That was disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah. huh.
I don't know if it was just like in the director's cut or something, but I was waiting for that because that's like the big number, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying to pull the threads apart here. Rihanna has a song called Umbrella.
Yes.
Okay, and then Spider-Man's there.
If okay, yeah, I think you got it. You got it. So I don't think we need to dwell on that anymore. Good job. should we say what happens?
Well, and then you say you want to develop a musical around this, huh?
Sure, let's do it real fast. So here's the here's my premise so far. So podcast...
We have to do it fast? I don't want to do it fast.
Okay, let's do it in 10 minutes.
Let's
take 10 minutes
to do it.
Let's introduce
the movie first.
Okay, fine.
It's called Singing in the Rain. It's about Gene Kelly, and he's a very handsome stunt man, and he gets noticed
yes.
by a Hollywood big shot, and he's like, you know what I want you to do? I want you to start being
Be
in the
famous.
Films.
Yeah.
We're going to pair you off with the hottest starlet of the time, who we didn't mention.
She's
the
mean.
Persona, this, yeah,
she's great
mean.
In it, too. Yeah. She is wonderful.
And it's the 20s, so everything is like silent films.
Yeah.
And he becomes a silent film star.
And they're an item in the gossip rags. What if will they, won't they? And they won't, because he doesn't like her, because she's mean.
Fucking hates her, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's actually my burn. Should we do him?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, let's hear it.
At the 3308 mark, mm-hmm. Her name is Lena.
Yes.
And they are doing an on-camera kiss. And it's still during the silent era. So they're having sort of a tense conversation while they're acting. And it culminates in a kiss. And she says,
"Hold on, you couldn't kiss me like that and not mean it. Just a teensy weensy bit."
And he says,
"Meet the greatest actor in the world."
Which is already a pretty good burn.
That's good, yeah.
And then he hits her with the other one, which is,
"I'd rather kiss a tarantula."
"But you don't mean that."
Yeah. And then he's like,
"I don't. Hey, Joe, bring me a tarantula."
Yeah.
Because he likes to fucking fully commit to a bit, which I like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
My burn is also on her. I've written this guy down as being called Martin Short. For some reason, that the little guy reminds me of Martin Short a lot. Is
oh,
that
okay.
just me?
No. I bet it's his dad.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, yeah. he the little guy, who is really funny and is the most talented actor in the film, he's can do everything. So this is... important to the plot. The era of silent movies is coming to an end. The first talkie has happened, and so it's going to be a problem. And they're talking about this issue, and the little guy says of Lena,
"She can't act, she can't sing, and she can't dance. A triple threat."
That's funny.
That is funny.
Well, I've got another burn from her, because I feel like we're maligning her too much. She is funny too, and she says, so when she's like being put on to go act in a scene, and she's dressed in, like, Regency costume or whatever. And she goes,
"Jesus, wig weighs a ton. What dope would wear a thing like this?"
And then the director goes,
"Everybody used to wear them, Lena."
And she goes,
"And then everybody was a dope."
Yeah,
that's
I love
on everybody.
she is the villain of the film, and she's awful to the heroine of the film. But I do love her, and I love that she just calls everything dumb. She's like, "This is dumb." Do you want me to do my second burn? Because it's also not on her if we want to just sort of, like... take some of the pressure off
sure
of her.
Let's get coverage. Yeah, okay.
At the 25 minute mark, it's found out that, I don't, it's complicated, but like he meets the heroine of the film and then they run into each other on the set and she storms off. And he goes backstage looking for her and he finds like a fellow showgirl because she was performing as a showgirl. And he says,
"Where'd Miss Selden go?"
And the showgirl says,
"She just grabbed her things and bolted. Anything I can do?"
And he says,
"Sorry, I don't have time to find out."
Yeah, that's cool. That's a cool thing to say to somebody.
That's a cool thing to say. And it's also a burn on her. It's like,
yeah, it is.
Not apparently.
Apparently not. I got to go chase after Debbie Reynolds. Yes.
Debbie Reynolds.
So the rest of the movie, they realize that they can have Debbie Reynolds, Princess Leia's mommy, does the big singing and talking as a overdub for what's her name?
She does a
for Lena
Traveler, Blues Traveler.
Wait a minute! I am just about to be brilliant. Come here, Kathy. Come here now. Sing.
Huh?
I said sing. Good morning. Good morning. Now, Don, keep your eyes riveted on my face
all night through. Good morning. Good morning. To you.
Watch my mouth.
Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning to you.
Well, convincing?
Enchanting. Why?
Don't you get it? Use Kathy's voice. Lena just moves her mouth and Kathy's voice comes over singing and talking for her.
That's wonderful.
She does a Blues Traveler and it works. It turns their terrible, the movie that was going to be terrible. Once they added the voices, it was terrible because she can't act and she has a bad voice. But it turns it around and it becomes a big success. But then there's like a debate about who gets credit.
Yeah. The bad lady wants credit. And then they trick her into singing with a man's voice. And everyone's like, what? And that's kind of the end of the movie. The movie ends pretty abruptly. All of a sudden, it's just like.
Yep, that's it.
They kiss and then roll credits.
There's like a whole dream sequence. The movie they end up making is fucking bonkers. It's bonkers.
Yeah, it's called The Dancing Cavalier.
They're like, we've already filmed this movie that's like set in the past. That's about like a swashbuckling, you know, ne'er-do-well.
French revolutionary.
The French Revolution. But we'll just touch it up a little bit and we'll make it a movie about a guy who comes to New York to be on Broadway. And then at some point we'll just have him be like bonked on the head and he has a dream about these scenes from the past. It's like, I don't think that's a good idea for
They literally show the pitch meeting.
Yeah.
And the little guy who pitches it, the boss of the studio, is like, we got to give you a raise. And it's like, wow.
Now, what about the story? We need modern musical numbers.
How's this? We throw a modern section into the picture. The hero's a young hoofer in a Broadway show, right?
Right.
Now, he sings and he dances, right?
Right.
But one night backstage, he's reading The Tale of Two Cities, in between numbers, see? And a sandbag falls and hits him on the head, and he dreams he's back during the French Revolution, right?
Right.
Well, this way we get in the modern dancing numbers. Charleston, Charleston. But in the dream part, we can still use the costume stuff.
Sensational. Cosmo, remind me to give you a raise.
ORF.
Yes?
Give me a raise.
All right. Man, I wish I had been alive in 1929.
Okay, here's what we've got. We've only got... So we've got to get this in before the break. So we've only got a few minutes.
Okay. I have nothing for after the break. So if you wanted to, we could stretch it out into
I'm just
the
telling you now.
Show.
Let's get it done here.
Okay.
Here's my pitch. Podcasting is transitioning from silent podcasts to talkie podcasts.
Okay.
So that's the same thing, right?
Okay. Yeah.
I think that's just that's the beginning. And then we just need to find a rain song.
We need to find what?
A rain song to kind of be the basis for this. We're going to do a musical. I guess the you and I, who had been the star,
I think
the biggest star.
We got to find. We got to find
those podcast
like,
era
because like they started singing about the rain.
Right.
I don't remember why.
Well, here's what I've got two. If we want to keep rain, I've got two thoughts. One, why does it always rain on me?
Okay. How
Travis.
About it's raining men?
Yep, that works. And then three would be maybe my favorite potential here is I'm only happy when it rains.
That's good.
Yeah.
God, I love Travis, but you know what? My knowledge of their oeuvre starts and stops at Sing.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. That's interesting. It starts and stops at Sing. What about Why Does It Always Rain on Me?
Sounds familiar, but I couldn't tell you. I don't know if I'd recognize
okay, well,
it in the lineup.
We don't have to do a rain song, but we could have it. You know, that I think the beats of the day is right. One of us, it'll have to be you because it doesn't really rain here. But you can walk out and it's raining in Connecticut, and you can sing one of those songs. I guess it's your choice.
I'll
Why does it always
them.
Rain on me? I'm only happy when it rains, or it's raining, Matt.
Yeah. I think I'll just practice all three of them just so I'm ready for any situation. Because they're all like different mood songs, too.
Yeah.
I assume.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll just have three different, I think, songs on the soundtrack for when it's raining.
That's
going to eat up like a half an hour of like song and dance numbers right there.
Yeah.
The studio head is going to read our script and be like, you want three song and dance numbers about rain?
Well, we can each do one.
Yeah, and we'll have Elon do the third one. Or was that the other show?
That's fine. I mean, it's maybe the same team that brought you, what was our musical called last time? Cornflake Girl.
Cornflake Girl, yeah.
Yeah, it's from the guys who brought you Cornflake Girl. So we'll have Elon
production
doing
team.
Why Does It Always Rain on Me?
Yeah.
You walk out, it's raining. I like the scene. You walk out, you draw your curtains, you get your briefcase, you open the door, you walk out, and it starts pouring down, and then you start singing It's Raining Men.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, maybe just to like make it a musical moment.
Yeah.
And it can be tenuous. It's tenuous in this movie. But I could wake up like ready for a big day, and it's like we gotta get like our, what's the premise of the movie?
The era of silent podcasting is over.
Right. So we got to like get in the studio and like retrofit the studio and get ready for this new era of podcasting. And I've got,
yeah.
And it's raining outside. We have all this moving to do and it's raining outside. And I'm being hassled by these two men, Jack and Elon, who are like,
okay,
come on, we got to get ready for the new like world of podcasting.
That's
Maybe I'm
good.
Kind of the curmudgeon.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
So not only is it raining, but I'm also being like hassled by all these men.
So you're singing like an aggravated, maybe minor key version of It's Raining Men, Hallelujah.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah, that works. Okay, good. And then we can have Elon and I will do separate numbers too. I'll be upset at how that conversation went and tearing my hair out about how the era of
You want to do all three numbers back to back.
Yeah, I'll do.
Oh, excellent. Yes.
Why
okay,
does it
I misunderstood.
Rain on
I thought maybe these would be spread out through the entire thing, but.
Yeah.
Back to back is a lot better.
And then Elon sings, I'm only happy when it rains. He's the only one who's kind of, he's going to make money no matter what. So he's like, he's happy about it.
So I guess we've found sort of our thing for when we watch musicals is it's the production team of Elon, Tanner, and Jack.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got the rain songs out of the way.
Yeah.
And frankly, like, we're already three songs deep into the soundtrack. We don't need much more.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, we're going to have the idea to do a podcast musical. To kind of jump onto the scene.
Right.
Do we need a song for that?
Yeah, I think we'd need a song for that.
Okay.
It's probably like, let's think.
Oh, I've got it. It's, you know that song that what are they called? New Radicals?
Yeah.
Don't Let Go, You've Got the Music in You. Can we have that?
Perfect. Yeah, I think so. That's great.
Yeah, that's great, right?
That's going to be so uplifting, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
Inevitably, I think one of us will... I think we need to, so one thing they do is that they sort of establish everyone's like bits with a song. Like your guy, the little guy gets Make 'Em Laugh. It's sort of like, I'm a clown. Look at me do a bunch of like pratfalls and stuff, you know?
Yeah. I could just do that. That's too much stealing, isn't it?
Yeah. But I think you do want something to kind of set up your character.
Yeah. And what's my character?
Well, mine's kind of the curmudgeon. So you'd have to pick something else. Maybe you can be like the one who's like really into it.
Okay, yeah. So what's a song that's like, I'm really into this?
Yeah, Yeah, Yeah from Usher.
I don't know that one.
Okay. Really into this. Really feeling this. Well, there's that Blink-182 song that's like, I'm feeling it!
You know? Okay, yeah, that's great. Okay, yeah,
I think it's off like take off your pants and jacket, like some very late like Blink-182 song.
Well, they're not all smash hits in this. There are some filler songs in Singing in the Rain. It would be weird if it was all just
massive.
So I'll sing that Blink-182 song where he goes, I'm feeling it.
I think it might be called I'm Feeling It.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. And that one's good because it's sort of like it's a three-person song because Blink-182 is only three people. So there's a role for me, Elon, and you.
Yeah, okay, that's great. Is there anything else we need, or is that it? We don't really
We need to harass addiction teacher, certainly. So what's your favorite, like, tongue twister?
Oh, maybe we'll do an Eminem song.
Oh, that's pretty good. Or like Twista.
Okay, yeah. Or Ludacris. Yeah.
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 We can each have one. Again.
Yeah, okay, perfect. Yeah. Okay,
we'll
that's
each,
cool.
We'll each choose a fast rapper, and we'll each have a song by that fast rapper.
Bully an old... Does Diction Teacher translate to the modern era? You know, maybe it's like one of these people who's doing like a master class on podcasting, you know?
Yeah. I like that.
We could go harass one of those guys and like sing Eminem at him.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay.
Okay.
I think we got it.
I feel pretty good about it.
And what's it called? Oh, it's one of the rain songs.
Oh.
I'm only happy when it rains. Perfect.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cut and print, right?
Cut and print, yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
God, we're good at this.
Whew.
Who are those dudes who wrote like The Greatest Showman and like they're like the new hot like musical duo? We could just be the new them.
I watched that thing you told me to watch. I mean, you talked about it on a previous podcast. You said that your mother forced you to watch a video of the people from The Greatest Showman like practicing and that it would teach you everything you needed to know about musicals.
Yeah.
And
did it?
I think so, but not necessarily like in a... I was like, yeah.
Made you feel nice, right?
Yeah, they seem like they're having a good time. But I don't totally understand why it has 55 million views. But they were all having a good time. It made me like Hugh Jackman more.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's like so into it.
So enthusiastic.
Anyway, whatever. It's a video. Watch it. It was, I don't know. It was inspiring, I guess. So that's it from the people who brought you
Cornflake Girl.
Literally on the heels of that, they're like, wow, these guys are going to rest on their laurels. But no.
Nope.
They're back with I'm Only Happy When It Rains. It's a fucking smash hit.
Yeah. And jukebox musical.
Yeah.
Except it's not one catalog.
Yeah. It's
sort of a moment in time, you know? Mm-hmm. We've captured the music of the mood and music of the zeitgeist.
Yeah. Really beautiful. Great. You want to take a break and come back refreshed and ready to go?
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Okay.
I just didn't know how to end that sentence. So.
I'm going to go refresh.
And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey, everybody. It's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp, except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively. Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors, who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign, and a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Time for the hit segment, Tanner, and you have to go, which means you leave. You're gone, and we're bringing Arbiter Tanner in to help. Arbiter, Arbiter Tanner, it's very nice to see you.
Hey, Jack, how are you doing today?
Oh, you sound a little down.
No, I'm good. I mean, I'm pleased to be here, not in a hellscape. Yeah. I mean, it's always a nice, refreshing break for me. It always, obviously, is terrible to go back to the sort of like desert future where vampires roam the desert and we all live in mega cities, and I am Arbiter who dispenses kisses to people whose judgments I agree with.
Yeah. Before we get to that, can I ask you a question about the future? I know I'm not, I know it's verboten, but hopefully this is minor enough that it's not going to fuck with the time stream.
It's a slap on the wrist. When I go back, it's always just a slap on the, it's like a ticket. They're like, we pay a $15 fine for, you know,
revealing things
about the future to people in the past.
I'm just desperately curious to know if in your time there's any record or memory of a hit jukebox musical about the end of the era of silent podcasting.
Oh, sure. It's a classic. I mean, it feels a little like I'm only happy when it rains. It feels a little dated now. Sort of the pacing is a little weird and like...
Yeah,
there's something a little off about it, you know? I think a lot of people just can't quite hold their attention for that long anymore.
It's like eating a very old cake.
Good metaphor. Yeah, really good metaphor.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it's like.
Yeah, where you could see how it probably was good.
But yeah, it's still, people still reference, it's still a hit, you know?
Yeah.
People still reference it a lot.
Okay, that's great to know. That really buoys me up. By the same guys who did Cornflake Girl. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
But that's not what we're here for. What we're here to do is a hit segment, which is
actually
called...
just came up at a trivia night recently.
Oh, really?
They said the question was like, who's the writing trio who usurped the modern musical throne from the guys who did Greatest Showman?
Okay, yeah. And then it was Elon Tanner and Jack of Cornflake Girl and I'm Only Happy When It Rains. That's great. Yeah. This is the segment. It's called On the One Hand. And what we like to do is we talk about some reviews that I've pulled from the people, the good people, and not the critics, the good people over at Rotten Tomatoes.
Critics are too biased.
Yeah, they're too biased. These people, these are
they
the
have
people.
An agenda. They don't speak for the people. They don't have good judgment. These people, these are salt of the earth people.
Yeah. But they do, these salt of the earth people, as you call them, have wildly varying views about the film.
Yeah.
So we're going to start with some positive ones. This is a segment within a segment that's called On the One Hand. And these two kind of, to my mind, go together as a nice pair of five-star reviews. The first one is from Case V, a super reviewer. Case V. It sounds like a court case, doesn't it?
Yeah, Case V. Or it sounds like an iPhone case company.
Case 5.
Yeah, Case 5. Okay.
Yep.
Go ahead.
And they're a super reviewer. They gave this film 5 stars on September 6, 2015, with the following review. Singing in the Rain is still a proven feast for the eyes and ears, full of charisma and intelligence and laughter. And that's followed
so well written
by a review from Barbara H., who basically expresses exactly the same sentiment on February 6, 2014 with her 5-star review, which goes, this is a funny-ass movie.
Okay, yeah.
So same thing with, honestly, a lot fewer words.
Same mood. Man, my dogs. You hear my dog? He does not like Barbara's review at all.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't sound like it. Yeah, that's tough. That's tough.
He liked Case V's. He had nothing
totally
to say about Case V's.
Case V's review. Yeah.
But as soon as you started reading Barbara's or like setting Barbara's up, he lost his mind.
You know what? I think it's Pascal says.
Yeah.
I think it's
something
Pascal.
About like a wager.
It was one of those guys. No, it's not his wager. He said some more stuff. He had a whole book called Pensée. It's like my thoughts. So he had a lot of thoughts. And I think maybe it was Pascal. It could have been one of those dudes like Denis Diderot. One of those French Enlightenment dudes.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Voltaire. I think it was Voltaire. Do you want to know what he says?
I think, therefore, I am.
No, that's Descartes.
So this many French guy, names Voltaire, coming at me right now.
Wrote a writes a letter to, I think he's a, to letter, and it's all like fancy and shit. But then at the end, he's like, I'm sorry this letter is so long. I didn't have time to make it any shorter.
Oh, okay. Sort of a paradox.
And kind of, but it's about the value of editing. And I think what Barbara H. has shown this to us. Case V wowed us with his verbal pyrotechnics. But Barbara H., same fucking thing.
But here's the thing. I think that nuance that Case V introduced is essential, because I do agree with Case V and I don't agree with Barbara.
Okay.
This movie's not funny as hell. This movie's fine.
Okay. You think it's a proven feast for the eyes and ears?
Absolutely.
Okay. We're going to move on to a segment within a segment we like to call On the Fence Hand.
I agree with you that they're saying the same thing, and I don't want you to think I'm dismissing you or turning away from you. I just think there's the subtlety that Case V introduces gives it a little bit more nuance.
All right, I'll take
sorry.
It.
Sorry. Sorry. Yeah. Sue me.
And sorry to Voltaire as well, I guess.
Yeah. Sorry, Voltaire. You know what? Sometimes perfect is better than done.
Yeah, and you know what, Voltaire? The only thing anyone remembers from that whole stupid fucking letter is the P.S. So I guess you proved your own point.
Yeah, and you know what else? No one even remembers that letter. That's not what you're even most famous for.
No, you're most famous for the satirical adventure, Candide. Right?
Absolutely. That's where I know you from, too.
This is a segment within a segment. It's called On the Fence Hand. We've got two reviews here. The first is from Brent A., who gives this film 2.5 stars, January 23rd, 2022. Says the following thing, 50% rating. If you like musicals, you'll love it. If you don't, you'll probably have a hard time. I think that's just a straight shooter, you know? I can't find any fault with that. If you don't like musicals, you're going to have a tough time with this one.
I think I'm trying to figure out where I fall on the spectrum. I think what he's done is sort of like made me introspective, and I've sort of learned something about myself, which is I didn't think I liked musicals.
Yeah,
but I didn't have a hard time with the film.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of fun. And maybe what I've learned is that I actually do like musicals, because I didn't struggle.
Yeah, you've learned that you do like musicals. I think that, see if you'll come with me on this metaphor. For me, Brent A. is kind of like Two-Face.
Okay.
Where he's like, he's giving it 2.5 stars, but it's not, he doesn't mean this movie is like a C. Like grade good.
He means it's either
he means like the part of me that likes musicals, which is like my smiling right side, loves this movie 100%, and the dark side of me that hates musicals.
I have to stop you.
Gives this 0%. What?
I have
Why?
To stop you.
Okay.
Oftentimes the Harvey Dent side is actually a little bit more like angry and stern than the Two-Face side. Who's a little bit of a maniac.
Okay, and always smiling.
Not necessarily smiling, because his face is like half burned off.
Okay.
But, you know, a little bit more like... you know what? I don't think either side is happy.
I want to get this right. So, in terms of...
And I'm talking about Batman the Animated Series canon Two-Face here.
Okay, not Tommy Lee... No, not Handsome Man from...
Batman. I'm not talking about Tommy Lee Jr.'s...
Tommy Lee Jones was Two-Face, right?
Tommy Lee Jones, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about...
Handsome Man was Two-Face as well in The Dark Knight. Yeah, okay. But help me. Help me help myself, because I want to get this metaphor exactly right. It's the evil part of Harvey Dent that likes musicals, and the good part hates them?
There is no good part, and this is what I'm trying to get to you, and this is, I think, one of the sort of like subtleties of the Two-Face character. Okay. Yeah. Is you expect it to be like a binary, right? Like, this man contains good and evil. Like, he's Jekyll and Hyde in one, but no.
Okay. They're both.
They're both kind of bad guys.
Okay. So, is it fair to say
one follows like logic and order to like a fault, you know?
Right. Yeah. And it's a problem.
And one is pure chaos.
Okay. Would it be fair to say that one of them likes musicals and the other doesn't for the purpose of this metaphor? Or do you think that it's like...
I don't know.
They both have kind of complex... Because if they do, my whole metaphor falls apart. If it's like two guys who both have complex attitudes about musicals?
I think it's two guys who both have complex attitudes, and I think the sort of maelstrom of personalities swirling around in their head would make it difficult for them to sit down long enough for pretty much anything.
Okay. So I think that I'm going to retire this. I'm going to respectfully withdraw the metaphor. Is that for the best?
Yeah, I think that would be for the best.
Okay, so I'd like to apologize to you and to the listeners for that.
And to DC Comics.
And to DC Comics.
And Warner Brothers.
And Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
John R. gives this film 4 stars on October 25th, 2017. And John R. says the following thing. 100%, and then there are 4 angry question marks. These critics are horrible. So,
wow. Who watches The Watchmen, I think, is what he's saying, you know?
He is. So I think, Singing in the Rain has 100% fresh rating from critics on Rotten Tomatoes. And
but like
John
we said,
R,
we don't, that's not what we're about.
John R., who gave this film 4 stars, thinks that these horrible critics should have given it an 80% like him.
Yeah. And I agree with that. I think the 100% is suspicious when you see that. You're like, what's going on here? Like, whose palms did they?
I think also misunderstanding the Rotten Tomatoes is like an aggregate of a lot of reviews. So there are probably like a few 80% reviews in there.
Oh, it's a cabal.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. These reviewers are all like conspiring.
This is a segment within a segment. It's called On the Other Hand. It's where we talk about the negative reviews, which is always kind of a bummer, especially with a fun, happy movie like this. Jack L. gave this film 0.5 star on April 3rd, 2019, and Jack L. says the following thing. There wasn't that much rain. This was a disappointment.
It's true. In fact, the one that rain scene, the famous Singing in the Rain scene, was a set. It's not real rain.
Yeah, and the scene where Spider-Man sings Rihanna isn't even in it. And I've felt disappointed in that too.
I don't even know what Jack's talking about. that's how not in it it is.
Yeah. CKC gave this
Calvin
film.
Calvin Klein, the perfume.
Yeah, gives this film 0.5 star on December 16th, 2018 with the following review. Yeah. Great comedy. A century ago.
Wow. Brutal. Yeah. Not quite.
Yeah.
1952 was only
70
years ago. The movie takes place a century ago. It takes place in the 1920s. But I don't know if you know this or not. What's his name?
Yeah. CKC. Calvin Klein.
CKC, but the movies can take place in different times than when they're like
he doesn't
filmed
know
or
that.
Watched.
Yeah, and in fact, it's a sign that the movie was a big success because it fooled him into thinking. The actors were so good that he really thought that they were from the silent era of movies.
Yeah. Well, joke's on you, Calvin
Klein.
Joke's
on you, Calvin Klein. Dustin N. gives this film 1 star, September 13th, 2014, with the following review.
Almost me.
What was?
I've already explained this. I explained this on... I've said this story publicly before, but my biological father wanted to name me Dustin Thurwind.
Whoa, cool.
After the Kansas song. I think it's Kansas.
Dust in the Wind. Okay. Well, no offense, but Thurwind is like, if you can just put two words together and make them into a name, like you could call someone, like you could call him Singin' in the Rain.
Yeah, except Singin's not a name. Dustin is.
Yeah, okay, fine.
And then Thurwin just becomes my middle name.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Well, neither did my mom, because here I am.
Okay, well, Dustin Thurwin gave this film 1 star, and he says, the book was better.
What book? It's a jukebox musical. Is there a book?
No! How could there be?
Is he making a joke?
I don't know.
Dustin, your sense of humor is just too sophisticated for us.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of that one.
You didn't bring us into that one.
No. Finally, Bethany S. gave this film 1 star on June 10th, 2013. And Bethany S. says the following thing. Amazing film. Always want to watch it. I love the musical arts and how they tap dance and sing. I love this film and rate it 5 out of 5 stars.
Bethany. Oh.
Bethany. My heart fucking broke. My heart broke for her.
What delicious irony. Because no, you haven't.
You haven't.
I think you've been bested by the technology, because what you've accidentally done is rate it 1 star, but in your heart it's 5 stars. And I think what...
Yeah.
Maybe we can amend that, Jack, and I choose Stephanie. Yeah. Tanner.
Bethany.
Bethany. Okay. I choose you because I want to leave.
Yeah.
Nope. And I want to come back. It's me, Tanner.
Hey, Tanner. It's nice to have you back.
I caught up with Arbiter Tanner in Slip Space.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't know if you know this, but every time we warp,
yeah,
we're sort of removed from time and space, and we are out there for like years.
Oh, okay. I did not.
That's why we always look a lot older.
Yeah. I have
every
noticed
time we
that.
Kind of warp in.
Yeah.
We're out there for like a year or two at a time.
Okay.
Just the two of us in Slip Space, just sort of like having conversations and like.
Yeah. It feels, now that you mentioned that, irresponsible that I'm doing this so much just for a segment on the podcast.
Yeah. But he caught me up and he said that Bethany accidentally left a 5-star review but only gave a 1 star. So I was thinking we could do a review and amend it and give it the 5 stars it deserves.
That's great. Let's do it.
On behalf of Bethany.
Of Bethany. Yeah, I love that. Do you want to pull up our Amazon account? We review it. For folks who want to see our reviews, we're reviewing it under, what's it called? The Babysitter's Club Club's Amazon account? Okay.
Yep.
Perfect.
And then, yes, let me pull that up here. Okay. Singing in the Rain. Title.
Title. What about I'm Only Happy When It Rains?
What's Bethany's title?
Bethany's title? She doesn't give it a title. No, oh, okay. There are no titles on it.
Oh, right.
What do you like about... Do you like that one? It's kind of a sly rain song nod. I'm Only Happy...
How about this? Let me pitch you this.
Yeah.
I'm Only Happy...
Yeah.
When
it's singing in the rain.
It's singing in the rain.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, I like that. Exclamation point. 5 stars, we love it.
Exclamation point.
Okay, so do we want to match that? Because I want to warn... I have got 2 warnings I want to give people, but I kind of want to start by matching the exuberance of that great title that you've given us. I am only happy when it's singing in the rain. Like, can we
let's,
pivot off
let's
that?
Worry about the cleanup stuff at the end.
Okay.
What are some other lyrics from I'm Only Happy? Who is that, Garbage?
Yes. Yeah, we could take a few more lyrics from that. I'm Only Happy When It Rains lyrics. Let's see, what else does Shirley Manson say?
I'm only happy when it's complicated, and then why did you have to go make things so complicated? And that's Avril Lavigne.
Yep. Okay, let's find a rhyme for complicated.
Pour your misery down, she says a lot.
Yeah, she does say that. Pour your misery. What about I'm only happy when it's nominated? Like for an Oscar. I think it did win an Oscar.
I think it's too late. I don't think they nominate movies from 1952 in 2023.
Okay.
I think the Oscar play for this movie is over.
I think that's the best I can do with complicated, so we can abandon it.
Yeah, I say we abandon it. I say we go to the pour your misery down line. Because that's the other sort of like, I think of that as being the other iconic line from.
Okay.
Or I only listen to sad, sad songs.
I don't have anything for pour your misery.
This movie, this scintillating film.
So we're abandoning the I'm only happy when it rains.
Gonna have to.
Okay, fine. this scintillating film. Listen, I want to warn people then.
Okay, let's get the warnings out of the way.
Okay.
And maybe I'll say that.
Yeah, let's get the warnings out of the way. First of all. If you don't like musicals, please do not watch this.
Do not watch this. Okay.
I guess that's it. That's it for that one. And then the I've got 3 warnings now.
Secondly,
if you're expecting it to rain throughout the whole movie, or even most of the movie, you're also going to be disappointed. Does that seem reasonable to warn people? Because it freaks Jack L's bean. I think it really put him on his back foot.
Yeah, I think that's responsible. Third of all.
Finally.
Third and last,
before we proceed to singing the praises of this film. You don't have to write all that. This is a lot of fucking verbiage. Finally.
Yeah.
If you're expecting Spider-Man to sing Rihanna, They cut it out of the movie.
You'll be disappointed to learn.
You'll be disappointed to learn they cut it out of the movie. Cut it out.
Okay.
It's not in it.
Despite
all that.
His shortcomings.
Yeah.
We're obligated.
Yeah.
To rate this film 5 stars.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, that's good. I like that. Yeah. Even though the book was better. I just want to put that in just in case there was a book and I don't
to rate this scintillating film
5 stars.
Even though the book was better.
Even though the book was better.
We do this.
Yeah. In honor
of Bethany.
Yeah.
H.
S.
S.
Yeah.
And do we need to give any more context than that, or is that it? Is that enough?
We could say, like, let's refer to it obliquely. Like, who made a mistake that any one of us could make.
Perfect. And do we want to say anything about the film? No, probably not, right? I guess we'd have all those warnings about the film. That's enough.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think if there's anything I really liked in it. Alderaan stuff? So kind of dark.
Yeah. I think we're good. I think we've got a pretty sizable review here.
Okay. Well, then we should sign it. Jack and Tanner.
Okay. Jack, Shepard, and Friend.
And then I would say, P.S., we loved this one or something like that, though, just to say that we, to remind people that we really liked it.
We loved this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to read it back to me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Title, I'm Only Happy When It's Singing in the Rain.
That's great.
5 stars.
Yeah.
Let's get some warnings out of the way. First of all, if you don't like musicals, please do not watch this. Second of all, if you are expecting it to rain throughout the film, or even a majority of the film, you will be disappointed. Third and final of all, if you're expecting Spider-Man to sing Rihanna, you will be disappointed to learn they cut it from the film. I can't say disappointed twice. So you'll be
devastated?
Furious.
Yeah. Infuriated.
That's how I felt.
That's how I felt. Flabbergasted. I think flabbergasted. Because it's like a combination of shock and anger.
Yeah, and it's really hard to spell, which makes it especially nice.
Yeah.
Despite these shortcomings, we're obligated to rate the scintillating film 5 stars, even though the book was better. We do this in honor of Bethany S., who made a mistake any one of us could make. Jack Shepard and Friend, P.S., we love this one.
Great. Perfect.
Great.
That's great.
God, they make it look so easy.
I know. That's great.
And Bethany,
send that to the printers.
We did this for you.
I hope you're listening. And don't worry. We got you.
Yeah, we're here. We're here for you.
We're here.
Jack, I'm ready to, I guess, head out.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go. That's great.
Okay.
I'd like to thank you for bearing with me this week. I'd like to thank the Bee Babies and the Bug Babies for bearing with us. We do love and kiss you all the time.
Just trying that out. Just trying out some new nicknames for the listeners.
Yeah, we got a whole barrel now.
Bug Babies. Yeah, we got a whole barrel. We'll just dip our hand in and pull out whatever comes out.
Pull out. Yeah,
that's what you're getting called that day.
Yeah,
Bug Babies.
That's nice. And kissed as well.
Yeah.
You got to subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/BSCC podcast. It's the only thing that keeps our families alive.
Yeah. Well, oxygen.
Yeah.
Shelter.
Okay. It's the main thing. It's one of the things. Please subscribe. It's fun over there. Join our Facebook group. Everyone's good and nice in there. And
nervous system.
Having a good time. Okay. We moved past that. Facebook group is Baby Nation. Rate and review the show. Subscribe, I guess. If you're not subscribed, please. That helps us.
Yeah, just do that. Yeah.
Do that.
And then once you're subscribed, you can go rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, which also really helps us.
I have a newsletter. It's on words, onwords.substack.com. You can subscribe. I'm writing about words and wordy things, and it's fun. And Tanner has a podcast that's not this. You can share
about it. expsharepod.com. It's about Pokemon. It's very fun. We're starting a new season. Get on board.
Yeah. I was invited to appear, but then never actually received an official invite. So
we haven't started scheduling
lost
yet.
Lost in the mail.
We haven't started scheduling the next season yet.
All that remains is for me to say that this week we watched a movie. That movie was called Singing in the Rain. Next week we're going to be, what are we doing next week? Uh-oh.
I made you pick Singing in the Rain, I think, so I think it's my turn to pick. No, okay. I picked Singing in the Rain out of your list, didn't I? How'd we end up on Singing in the Rain?
I think you picked Mamma Mia out of my list, and now this was just random, and so now you get to present me with three movies, and I will choose one of them.
Okay.
That's the arc. That's the way this works now, folks.
Yeah, it's sort of a bit of a, you know, the song Devil Went Down to Georgia, kind of a devil's bargain.
Oh, and we've got some books coming up. While Tanner's looking that up, I'll tell you, we are reading a couple books. If you want to get ahead and read, we are reading For Butter or For Worse by our friend Aaron LaRosa, who hopefully is going to appear on the show and talk to us about it. And we are going to be reading a book called A Rogue of One's Own as well, with a special guest who is going to help us talk about that as well. So if you'd like to read those romantic novels in advance, get to it. But in the meantime, Tanner is going to present three movies to me. I'm going to choose one. We'll probably do it for next week.
Here's your options.
Okay.
1998's Can't Hardly Wait.
Okay. Love it. Going to be hard to top that. It's a classic.
2005's Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Okay. That's kind of fun.
And 2017's Call Me By Your Name.
Okay. I choose one of the first. I think probably Can't Hardly Wait.
All right. Let's do it.
Yeah. That's fun. That's a great movie. It's named after a Replacement song. Everybody knows that, I guess.
And the people who don't know it don't care. Can confirm.
All that remains is for me to say that my name this week has been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
And I hope that you find your Gene Kelly after ever after.
Poor.
We might be childhood friends and